The Auckland Greens are thinking local and talking to the people with ideas for a better city and a richer future. Every Monday on Green Auckland.
Kia ora, you're listening to Green Auckland. I'm Julianne Genter, List MP for the Green Party based in Mount Eden. And today I have Kristen Gillies, spokesperson for the Coal Action Network Aotearoa, to talk about what's going on with coal developments in the South Island and what this means for a clean green future for New Zealand. So, good afternoon, Kristen. How are you?
Hi, Julie. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm good, thanks.
So, you have been deeply involved in the setup of CANA, the Coal Action Network Aotearoa. Can you start just by telling us a little bit about what CANA's up to?
We formed back in 2007 as a group of people who had been working on coal mining issues, and we saw a large expansion proposed by the industry right across the country, and so we decided to form the network and to set up groups around the country of concerned citizens, I guess you'd say, and activists, and primarily concerned about coal as the primary threat to the Earth's climate. So very much a climate-concerned based group, yeah.
Right. So climate change is obviously a major challenge. It's becoming clearer and clearer that we're going to have to change our activities on a global scale. And what would you say is, do you agree with the government who says that in the short term it's good to have jobs from coal and that we can worry about climate change later?
I think that there's something that we need to acknowledge, and this is based firmly in the science, and we had James Hansen here last year, which was really great, and acknowledging the fact that whilst we might have reached peak oil, and that there's a very real need to be transitioning away from our oil dependency, but we're nowhere near reaching peak coal. In fact, there's billions and billions of tons of coal left around the planet, so that we can't carry on with our current trajectory. We can't dig up all of that coal, or even a small proportion of that coal. So we need to find a way that creates a just transition, is the language that we use. So that means that that now, whilst we're still able to use some of our oil, use some of our coal, whilst we continue to do that in the short term, which we actually need to be doing is creating new livelihoods or new ways of creating livelihoods, new economies that don't rely upon it. And the current situation down on the West Coast and in Huntly and in Christchurch with all the layoffs from Solid Energy represent that really clearly. I think that having an economy that's based solely around coal mining or largely, as in the case of our country, as the government would have it, based largely on fossil fuels, we're only going to see more and more communities paying the price of our dependency on fossil fuels if all our livelihoods depend upon it. So, whilst in the short term we do need to create jobs, we need to be moving more strategically away from fossil fuels and coal. So that's where we're at.
Can you say a little bit more about Solid Energy and what's going on with Solid Energy? Because probably not everyone in Auckland has followed necessarily the developments that led to those layoffs at the mine a few weeks back.
Yeah, certainly. Solid Energy recently announced record low prices for coal around globally. There's been a steep drop in the price of coal, but they're also, so they've been blaming that on the fact that they need to lay off 400 people around the country. That's down on the West Coast, closing the Spring Creek underground mine at Huntly, just not far south of Auckland here, and laying off some of their staff from their Christchurch headquarters as well, support staff. So they're blaming it on the price on the global price of coal. However, there's a lot of people who are actually saying that, coal was predictable that that was going to happen, and that has been a very case of poor management by Solid Energy. Now, the other thing that to factor into that is that, of course, Solid Energy is one of the state-owned enterprises which are going to be privatised if the government has its way. And so there's also a lot of people who are saying that actually that this is part of the cuts that are getting Solid Energy into shape for privatisation or partial privatisation as well. So there's a lot going on there with Solid Energy at the moment.
So do you think that if Solid Energy is partially privatised, as the government is planning, that this will be more or less likely to lead to increased production of coal in New Zealand?
I think it would probably lead to increased production. If we're just going to leave it to the private sector, then which we're seeing with companies like Bathurst Resources, which is an Australian company that's recently moved into New Zealand with big proposals to mine coal on the West Coast, and the government actively supporting them. If we're just going to leave it to the market, then I think that whilst coal prices are low at the moment, they're probably only going to increase. And so therefore that means, we're going to see increased pressure for increased levels of mining, whereas what we would rather see is that Solid Energy stays in the hands of the government and that it's used transitions to other forms of generating other forms of energy. They've been doing some work. They had on wood pellets, with a plant down in Rolleston, just south of Christchurch, and a big plant near Taupo, and supplying wood chips from waste wood, which can actually replace a lot of coal usage in industrial and residential uses. And they've also been producing biodiesel from rapeseed oil produced in Canterbury. So those are the sort of things that we would rather see a state-owned energy producer doing rather than mining coal. So we'd like to see Solid Energy stay in public ownership.
And not only stay in public ownership, but maybe have a different statement of intent from the government, so that instead of pursuing coal, they're more actively pursuing these renewable energy opportunities.
Absolutely, yeah. And a lot of the coal that they're actually producing is for export. Therefore, it's being exported to countries that don't have any such a thing as an emissions trading scheme or any price on carbon or regulation. Yeah, that's right. So we're really exporting a big problem. We know we can be 100% renewable in New Zealand. And we can do that in the near future if there's a political will to do that. And so definitely Solid Energy shouldn't be continuing to export coal. Yeah.
And I suppose that in the absence of any sort of meaningful emissions trading scheme or cap on carbon globally, there really is a need for the government to take the front foot and be saying, look, it doesn't matter what other countries do. If we mine coal in New Zealand, that's going to be more coal burnt in the atmosphere, and it's going to be more carbon, and it's going to mean that we're even closer to a dangerous point of no return with respect to climate change.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've, we're seeing even in New Zealand that the government's not really prepared to take a stand on climate change or do anything meaningful. At least our emissions trading scheme has carbon priced at, I think, even less than $5 a tonne at the moment. So really that's not a mechanism that's working, and not one that's providing any sort of disincentive to mine coal or burn coal. We're seeing an expansion in the industry, and so certainly the government don't appear to be prepared to take meaningful action here, let alone be a good environmental or global citizen at least, and take responsibility for the coal we produced, even if it's burnt overseas, which we would obviously like to see. Climate change is a global issue, and I don't think we can just export coal and wash our hands of the implications of it and say it's not our problem.
Definitely. Can you say a little bit more about what's happening with the Bathurst mine? Is that they received a resource consent, but it's been challenged in the High Court, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. They've received a resource consent and it's being appealed by Forest and Bird, and that's going to be coming up in October.
And it's not being appealed on climate change grounds, right? Because climate change cannot be taken to account currently in the granting of resource consents.
No, so there's two things that are going on. One is the appeal on the resource consent by Forest and Bird, and as I said, that's coming up in October. But running kind of concurrently with that process is an action by West Coast Environment Network, who are saying that climate change should be accounted for in the resource consent process, and that's also before the courts at the moment. They've lost their initial hearing, but they're still deciding if they're going to appeal that further or higher or not, and that's been bundled into the same process as the resource consents for Bathurst.
I see. And what do you think is the likelihood that the mine could be stopped through this court process?
Well, I think Forest and Bird's appeal has a very good chance, actually. It's based on some very real impacts that this mine will have. It's proposed to go ahead on high-value conservation land, and Forest and Bird's appeals basically stand on the value of the conservation land. These are areas that they've been campaigning to have protected for a very, very long time. They're very unique ecosystems, and essentially they've been left out of any protection process because there's coal sitting under them.
Right. So this Bathurst mine is proposed on the Denniston Plateau in the South Island on the West Coast, and it's very high-value conservation land. I bet a lot of Aucklanders would be quite surprised to know that it's still possible to propose a mine on high-value conservation land, given the big march down Queen Street against opening up some of the areas that were set aside in Schedule 4 to mining. I bet most New Zealanders would think that it's not possible to dig up high-value conservation land for a coal mine.
Yeah, and whilst it was great that everyone took the streets, and we did really, you know, we did make some gains there, but there are certainly a lot of loopholes that still exist, historic loopholes, and loopholes that are kind of being almost created really now by this government, that mean that there is still mining on high-value conservation land. There's a lot of land that's currently classified as stewardship land, which is still part of the Dock Estate, which also means that it's still being assessed as to what its protection level it has, and there's mining proposed on quite a lot of stewardship land around the country. So no, our conservation land isn't entirely protected, and certainly there's areas such as this that are high value conservation land that have mining proposals on them. But a lot of this, in this instance, a lot of it is quite historic as well. It goes back to the, I think, 50s or 60s, where when these areas were set aside for mining, they kind of drew the line around the coal deposits and then said, okay, we'll protect up to this line, but we're not going to protect under this line because there's coal under it. And so that's really where we find ourselves today. But this proposal by Bathurst, the one that's currently before the resource consent, is just quite a, well, I say small only in a comparative sense, because it's actually a small part of a much larger vision that Bathurst has, and they have something like 10,000 acres under exploration permits and mining permits, and that spread a lot further up the coast, and they've got something, I believe, like 80 million tons of coal that they are hoping to eventually be able to mine out of that area.
For those of you who've just tuned in, this is Julianne Genter from the Green Party, and I'm speaking to Kristen Gillies from the Coal Action Network, Aotearoa, or CANA. We're just talking about some of the coal mines that are proposed on the west coast of the South Island and what that means for New Zealand's clean, green future. Kristen, so we've heard that there's quite a lot of coal that could be developed. And I suppose that the argument coming from the resource sector is that there is the potential to develop clean coal. Is that true? Is there any scope for somehow making coal green and then getting rich off this idea and us still being able to exploit the 80 million tons of coal that's underneath the conservation estate?
Yes, certainly there's been a lot of rhetoric from the industry around clean coal, and even investment. You know, Solid Energy have said, oh, we've invested $20 million in this carbon capture and storage technology, and there's been quite a push by the industry worldwide to try and develop these technologies, but so far they've amounted to very little. And certainly there's nothing of that's economically viable that's capturing carbon globally. And we would say, you know, why invest all of those tens, in fact, hundreds of millions of dollars worldwide in such a technology when that should really be going into developing renewables, not trying to clean up what is essentially a dirty industry and always will be.
And it's always going to run into the conservation impacts as well. So you've got these two reasons. One is climate change, and the other one is the local environmental effects from coal mining. And it, presumably, even if they were able to afford the carbon capture and storage technology, if that was viable, that might have some other local environmental impacts that we're not yet aware of. So it's really not a long-term solution to the problem.
No, well, certainly what they're talking about doing is capturing carbon and storing it back underground again. And there's been a number of issues with some of the trial plants overseas where they've tried to do that, capture carbon and stick it back underground where it's been escaping again. And really does just make you question exactly, you know, what is the point of trying to do that? We don't need to do that. What we need to do is expend our research and development and our technology on new clean energy sources, and not trying to do something crazy like capture carbon and stick it back underground. And it just doesn't seem like the way forward, really. It seems like it really feels like a desperate attempt to try and extend the life of what really is a sunset industry. Yeah.
Now, Solid Energy also has big plans to develop lignite in Southland, and I believe they own quite a considerable amount of what is currently productive farmland because of the lignite resource underneath it, which they would like to turn into a large-scale mining operation and turn into briquettes or turn into diesel. Has CANA been active on the lignite issue? Is that something you're concerned about?
Yeah, that's actually been probably our main thrust of our work in the last couple of years. Solid Energy has bought up something like 4,000 hectares of prime Southland farmland, and has access to over a billion tonnes of lignite, of a total of something like 6 billion tonnes that exists in Southland, which is, you know, that's significant on a global scale. And lignite, I should point out, is the lowest, dirtiest form of coal. It's, if you picked it up in your hand, you'd find it's very wet, very, very wet, and it's almost, you know, it's one stage kind of cast past peat or petrified wood. In fact, it's very low on the coal scale in terms of energy, and so therefore to use it, there's a considerable amount of energy expended in just getting it into a usable form, as they're trying to do with their pilot lignite briquetting plant, which is taking it, they're squeezing out the water and making it into little biscuits, essentially briquettes, which they're hoping to be able to sell and replace some thermal grade coal with it.
And I take it that the plan is to produce diesel here locally in New Zealand. But I mean, if whether we were using this here in New Zealand or exporting it, it's going to have significant impact on either our domestic emissions or on our sort of clean green brands. Is that how are you finding it down in Southland? Are the people down in Southland, are they quite interested in the jobs that can be provided by the lignite developments, or are they concerned about the loss of what's actually already quite a productive, important economic activity for New Zealand, which is farming?
Yeah, the Southlanders are rightly proud of their farming heritage and the fact that that area produces a lot of high quality agricultural products that are exported and used around the country, and so they're very protective of that. And the proposals by Solid Energy actually provide very few long term jobs comparatively. And when we think about the fact that they need to dig up thousands of hectares of good quality farmland, now they're saying they can remediate that and you'll never even know they've been there. But when you talk to people on the ground, they're really concerned about where their water comes from, what their aquifers, their freshwater springs. And we know, you know, you don't need to be a geologist or a hydrologist to know that you can't just dig a massive pit and then all of us and put back a freshwater spring and a aquifer and that sort of thing. So the locals are very, very concerned about those impacts. And also it represents an industrialization of what is currently, you know, somewhat idyllic yet productive area of the country. You know, it's beautiful rolling farmland. People live there because they like to live in that environment and don't want to find themselves living in an industrialized piece of countryside, which really Solid Energy's plans are initially for a briquetting plant, which they've got the trial plant they're commissioning at the moment. Then they'd like to produce to build a lignite to urea plant, and then eventually a lignite to diesel plant. And this would, it really looks like a super, they've talked about it in terms of a super industrial park, bigger than probably anything we've seen in the country so far. So we're talking about a massive scale industrial park that living nearby has its own issues, let alone the fact that they're digging up thousands of hectares of farmland and ultimately turning a very low grade and dirty form of energy into producing a lot of carbon emissions. And it's significant, I think, on an international scale. When we talk about 6 to 8 billion tonnes of lignite that's there, that's, you know, something like 11 billion tonnes of carbon dioxide, which we know we just can't afford to dig up and burn.
And so how is Canna looking at how to make these issues around coal, because most of that's in the South Island, relevant to New Zealanders living up here in Auckland?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a local group who have got off the ground here, Auckland Coal Action, and they're a very committed bunch of concerned local people here, and they're looking at ways in which they can do that. They were just last week down leafleting at the New Zealand Symphony Orchestra, which their recent tour was sponsored by Solid Energy, and they did a really quite a thought-provoking activity down there. You know, nothing too confrontational, but they leafleted people going to the concert and just said, NZSO, love your music, don't like your sponsor, basically. And just to get, just to kind of raise awareness around these issues that Solid Energy, you know, is a massive contributor to climate change, and that things need to change, and that we can't continue to let these industries basically curry flavor, continue to support things like the NZSO. And they made a comparison to the tobacco industry, where we've, you know, basically banned tobacco advertising, and the industry, which used to, you know, sponsor lots of sporting activities and that sort of thing, and they're saying that they should be doing the same thing with the coal industry. So it's challenging for some people, because, you know, we all love music and the arts, and they're important things in our society, but we don't think that they should be sponsored by Solid Energy or the coal or fossil fuel industry.
As long as Solid Energy is pursuing this sort of outdated approach, which relies on growth of production of coal as opposed to renewables.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's one of the things that Auckland Coal Action have done recently. And I think there's a lot of opportunities for Aucklanders to get engaged on the issue of coal mining, because, you know, as I said earlier, coal's our primary threat to our climate, to the Earth's climate. And so therefore, you know, that's not an issue that has geographical boundaries, and in Auckland there's coal is burnt in some industrial sites and some schools and hospitals and universities and that sort of thing across town. And so, you know, we can start working in our own neighbourhoods, identifying where coal is burnt, and start talking to those people and talking about the alternatives, which there are alternatives. And also Fonterra, who is one of the biggest consumers of coal in the country, their headquarters are here in central Auckland, and they've recently announced that they're going to be opening a new coal mine just south of Auckland, just over the other side of the Bombay Hills, which will be fueling three of their milk dehydrators in the Waikato. So, as I said, their headquarters here in Wellington, and so there's an opportunity to engage with Fonterra as well, and I think that that's something that Auckland Coal Action will also be doing in the near future.
Fantastic. So we're almost out of time. I suppose I could ask you in just 30 seconds, what's the soundbite? What is our alternative to coal here in New Zealand?
So there are alternatives. We can use wood and wood waste particularly. There's big opportunities in wood waste to replace coal. There's some interesting things going on. A Blenheim company is now producing a product that can be used for making steel, which can replace coal. But also we need to just reduce our demand for products that are made from coal and from our energy that's produced from coal. So I think that there's not one silver bullet.
Thank you so much, Kristen, for joining us today. That was Kristen Gillies from Coal Action Network Aotearoa, speaking about all the different issues that New Zealand is facing and about the opportunity for Aucklanders to get involved in campaigning against further developments of coal in New Zealand. Thanks very much. Kia ora. Talk to you next time.
Aotearoa's most populous city could also be its greenest city. Explore ideas for a green Auckland every Monday at 9:05 a.m. or anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/greenauckland.